I want to read a passage of Scripture this morning. And I think some time ago I read this passage of Scripture and related to another message. But God's burdened my heart about something this morning that I believe will be a blessing to you. It's very simple. But notice in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Listen to the Apostle Paul. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew requires sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I thank you this morning for the wonderful singing of the congregation and of the choir. Our Father, for touching Brother Brad for the special music this morning. And God, I want to thank you for being here, God, to be with God's people. Our Father, what a great treasure it is. And only our Father, sometimes we don't really, somebody said this morning, appreciate all of God's goodness until we don't have them for a period of time. I want to thank you so much for being able to be here, be a part of this church, be a part of this ministry, be with these people. God, I ask this morning the Holy Ghost of God would touch the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl in the radio audience and in the internet audience and those here in the building. God, draw us close to yourself. Make us aware of your presence. Help us, our Father, to glorify you and worship you. And God, I pray, as Brad's prayed already, if there's a lost person in this building, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. On last night, I got a phone call almost 10 o'clock at night. And the man didn't identify himself. He just started talking immediately. He said, is this Brother Billy? And I said, it is. And he began to talk to me. And I got up, went to a quiet place in the house, and for about an hour, I talked with a truck driver in a place, J.C., called Golden, Texas. Have you ever heard of such a place? Golden, Texas. And he had pulled off the interstate, and he talked to me for about an hour. And he said, I'm a saved man. He said, I've been out of fellowship with God for some time. He said, but recently, God, the Holy Ghost has got a hold of me, and thank the Lord he used some of the Highway Shepherd CDs to do that. He said, I've rededicated my life. He said, I've got a good church home. But he said, I'm on the road just about all the time. And he said, I heard you say on one of the CDs that you pastored down in Georgia and in Florida near the Alabama line. And he said, I'm wondering if you know of a church down in anywhere in that area. He said, I go down that way a lot. And he said, I've been trying to stop on the road and go to churches. And he said, it has been somewhat of an experience. He said, I cannot find hardly across America a church that's preaching the gospel and the Bible. He said the majority of them, when you go in, it's kind of a feel-good atmosphere, and there's not much preaching, and what it is just to, you know, go on your way and enjoy yourself. And he said it's hard to find a good church. And I want to know if somewhere in Alabama, that area, if I knew of a good church. unfortunately, that particular area of Montgomery, I didn't know of one. And down in the panhandle of Florida a little further, I could tell him about a few. But he said, here's my experience. He began to tell me the story, how that since he's rededicated his life to the Lord and trying to get in churches, he stops and goes in church after church. And he's disappointed when he leaves. He leaves feeling like he's not heard the word of God. He's not had fellowship with God's people. And it's just a different atmosphere. And I said to him, unfortunately, that's the story across America, that there are not that many churches that you can go to where the word of God's preached anymore. And when I thought about that, God began to deal with my heart, and he already been dealing with me earlier in the week and kind of confirmed in my heart this truth. Paul said, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Do you understand that God created everything? He made this world. He made you. He made everything that's in it. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, as Brother Gary's been sharing with us in Revelation chapter 4, we find these truths. He said that everything that was created for his pleasure. Revelation 4:11. Everything in this world God created for his own pleasure. Everything's made that way. And you and I are the same way. We are created for the pleasure of God. Somebody said and defined it simply this way, that the whole duty of man is to know God and to love God and to give glory to God and to enjoy his presence forever. That's why God made us. He wanted us to know him. He wanted us to fellowship with him. He wanted us to glorify him and enjoy his presence forever. How long has it been since without anything else externally that you and God had a time? How long has it been since you and the Lord had a spell right by yourself, that his presence was so real, that he indwelt you, he surrounded you, and you were overwhelmed in the presence of the Lord? I think about what Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And oh, what an experience that was for him to be in God's presence. How long has it been since you've ever been in his presence so real that you could almost touch him? And your heart was overwhelmed. I tell you, you and I both have failed him so miserably. There's nothing good in any of us. We don't deserve anything. But when we think about how wicked we are and how wicked we have been, and yet he loved us and he wants to fellowship with us, and he did that and made that possible through the blood of his dear son, you and I ought to be a shouting all the way to Two Egg, Florida and back this morning, because God wants to be where you are and God wants to fellowship with you. And God said this in the... After the wisdom of man, they couldn't know God. There's no way intellectually you can understand God. You just cannot figure him out. You can't comprehend him. You can't explain him to somebody scientifically, but he's real. And you can know him through the preaching of the word of God. I have three little simple points. Now, I got a few things under those points, but this morning I want to just share with you a few things. First of all, I want to show you from this passage of scripture what I call sovereign choice. And then I want to show you from this passage of scripture what I call the singular message. And then the last place, I want you to notice the salvation that's provided. Now, notice in the first place in this passage of Scripture, the sovereign choice. The God who made this world, who made everything about it, he said, I want them to know me. I want them to fellowship with me. I want them to be able to be with me and experience me and have joy everlasting, the fullness of joy, joy unspeakable. Now, how can that be accomplished? Now, God, who's wiser than any of us, the Bible said it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God chose the preaching of the gospel to save them that will believe. Now, to bring them into his fellowship, to bring them closer, that's God's means. He's not changed his mind. The way that men and women, boys and girls in Liberia and in Russia and in the Philippines and in North Carolina have a relationship with the Holy God is through the preaching of the Word of God and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God chose that. God is the one who set that up. It pleased God to do that. It said that was God's pleasure and the way he decided to do it, the sovereign choice. Notice what he said in verse 27. It said, God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound things that are mighty. And the base things of this world and the things of the spies hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, if you were smart enough to save yourself, or if you had a discipline enough to save yourself, or if you could live holy enough to save yourself, then you might have somewhat to glory in. But God chose in his sovereign choice to make salvation simple and plain and to be received by the hearing of a message. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, God chose that. Now, you can't change that. There's no need to try to change it. In the first place, if God chose it, it has to be a perfect way. There's no other way. You could exhaust all means. You'd never find a better way for men and women to know God than through the preaching of the gospel. There's no substitute for it. The presentation of the gospel truth is God's sovereign choice. And what makes the difference is when people hear the gospel and are saved. God chose that. Understand, it's not something that we say, well, that's an old Baptist fogey. They get up and they read the word of God and they preach a message, and now we need to innovate. We need to have things more contemporary to this age. We need to do things differently than preaching the simple gospel message and get the word of God to people. There's got to be a better way to communicate the gospel. And so consequently, over the last several years, and it's going to get worse, churches have begun to take away the gospel. They've taken away the cross. They take away the blood. They take away sin. They take away the penalty on sin. And so they consequently come to a place where it's a matter of you having a positive attitude about yourself, an affirmation. Stand in front of the mirror in the morning and say, God is a good God, and God made me, and I'm God's creation. I'm a good person. Now, let me say this to you. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and so on. He's our righteousness. He's our wisdom. And the preaching of the gospel is God's chosen means. You can't get away from it. As I thought about this message, I thought about over the years of my ministry, and I thought about the simple gospel message, whether it was personal soul winning or preaching, and where I've been and other people have preached, and where I've seen people, and God gloriously changed them. And I think about them who've lived a Christian life, and they were faithful to God, and they died being faithful to God, went to heaven. And it was a simple gospel message that saved them. It was a simple sharing the gospel with them that saved them. I remember a man by the name of Jesse up in Reidsville, North Carolina. I had gone to the hospital to see somebody else, and somebody mentioned to me about this particular man being in the hospital. And I went in to see him. He's in critical condition. And as I went in and just stood there and talked with him for a few minutes, I just asked him. I mean, I didn't know the man. I hadn't ever seen him. And somebody had told me about him. And I went in and I talked to him for just a few minutes. And I said to him, I said, Jesse, I said, are you saved? And he said, I'm not. And I just in a few minutes, I told him, I said, Jesse, I'll tell you something. I said, the Lord wants you saved because he wants you to fellowship with him. He wants you to, that's his plan. And I said, Jesus loved you. The Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You are a sinner. I'm a sinner. And the Bible said, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. That means that all of our righteousness is filthy rag. I don't care how much good work we do, we're still sinners. We're still lost. And the Bible said, there's a penalty on sin. In Romans, it says the wages of sin is death. And I said, Jesse, I said, because of our sin, we die, not just die physically. Most everybody's going to die physically unless the Lord comes back with our heart will quit beating, we'll be in a casket somewhere. I said, but there's more to it than that. There's spiritual death. That's what's called the second death. And if you die lost, you'll be alienated from God for all eternity. I said, right now you're breathing his air. Right now you experience love and light. I said, but in hell, there'll be no love and there'll be no light. And it'll all be torment forever and ever because you'll be exiled from his presence. Now you're enjoying his blessings, though you don't know him as Savior. But there's coming a day that you'll be eternally separated from him. And I suggested the thing about it is this. He wants you to be with him. You don't have to talk him into it. You don't have to make it, you know, do something where he'll love you. He's already loved you. I said, down on the hill, he gave his son. For God so loved the world loved you. He knew you before you were ever born. He knew you. And I said, he loved you. And he gave his son. And Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. And Jesse, it's a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I didn't know the man. I didn't know anything about his educational background. I told you everything I told him. And then I looked at him and I said, Jesse, he loves you right now and he'll save you right now. Would you trust him? And he said, I will. And that man asked Jesus Christ to come in his heart and life. He got saved and he ended up coming to our church. His wife came, she got saved. And until I left that area, he was very faithful. And after I left, he was always faithful. And whenever I'd go to church anywhere in that area to preach revival, they came almost every night. And he loved God. And it was one little encounter and one simple gospel message that changed his life for eternity. How many of you can say I had that experience in my life? I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. And it all came because of a simple gospel message. God chose it that way. He did it that way so boys and girls, men and women, educated, uneducated, red and yellow, black and white, he chose it that way because he wants people to be saved. It is his desire. He doesn't want any to perish. God's sovereign choice. We can't change that. And so from now until Jesus comes, it must be our intent to carry a gospel message. And that brings me to the second point I want to share with you this morning. Not only is there a sovereign choice in the means, that is how we are to get saved, that's through the message and God's plan, but it brings us now to the singular message. What is the message that he wants us to preach? Is it a Baptist message, an Assembly of God, Church of God, Nazarene? What kind of message is it we're supposed to preach? Well, it's simple in this passage of Scripture. Paul said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us it is the power of God. Over and over again, Paul has stated that I quoted a while ago in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Look here in you have your Bible open, 1 Corinthians. Look at chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He came to preach the gospel, Paul said. That is my singular message. My message is the cross. My message is what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross. Look down at verse 31. It said, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Everything that you need to know God, everything you need to be right with God is wrapped up in this gospel message. It is a singular message. It is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is what Christ did for us on that cross. He bore all our sins in his own body. He died on that cross. He was buried. He rose again. The gospel message. The gospel message. I was preaching in Alabama when the fellow talked to me last night from Texas. And I said, the only church I know of in that area is in a place called Alabama. It's not even in the Op. It's outside of Op. And I said, it's Cedar Grove Baptist Church. And a friend of mine, Brother Monroe Sasters, pastor there. And I said, as far as I know, he's still there. And they'll preach the gospel. And you can go there and hear the word of God. And old Monroe has been a preacher of the gospel, loved the Lord, and been faithful to God. And in that place, he shared the gospel and told people about Christ. I preached a lot of revivals there for Monroe. And I preached a message there one time on I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. But is anybody telling the story? And I talked about all the things we do in regard to church and our own lives and about how we do this and that and the other. But how long has it been since you gave a simple gospel message? Not just saying, I want you to come to church or this, that, and the other, or come hear our preacher, or come hear the choir, or be involved in this activity, that activity. But how long since you've just given a very simple gospel message? And I said, the simple gospel message is this, that we're all sinners. There's a penalty on that sin. Jesus Christ, the Bible said, paid that sin debt. And that he was buried, he rose again, and he's alive, and he'll save you. And I shared that with that church. Had a few people come to the altar that night. And the challenge was this, will you just try it one time? Just tell the simple gospel message. I know you'll be a little bit intimidated. I know you might be nervous. But would you say to somebody, can I just tell you the gospel? There was a family singing there that week, the Russell family from up in Montgomery, Alabama. And their daughter was, I guess she might have been a teenager, but she was 12 or 13 years old. And they were traveling back to Montgomery about an hour every night and singing. They were the singers for the whole week. The next night when we came to church and they got up to sing before I preached, they sang a song or two, and then Brother Harold Russell stopped. And he said, my daughter wants to say something. And the little girl stand there and she started talking. She broke down, began to cry. And she said, when Brother Billy preached last night about the simple gospel message, she said, I have a friend at school, and I prayed for her, and I've tried to get her to go to church with me there in Montgomery, told her how good our church was and about our family singing and all that, you know, how good God had been and everything. She said, I've always talked to her about trying to come to church, and I really wanted her to come, really wanted to get saved. But she said, last night I realized I had never told her the gospel. And she said, so today at school, on our lunch break, we were eating together, we were all to do. And I asked her, can I tell you the gospel? And she said, we sat there in the cafeteria. And she said, I just shared the gospel with her. I think she said, I have my little Bible, New Testament. But she said, Jesus loves you and that you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus said, the wage of sin is death. And without Christ, you'll be in hell. There's a penalty on sin. But Jesus took every one of your sin, and she called her name. And she said, on that cross, he suffered, bled, and died. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And he'll save you right now. He knows you. He paid your sin debt. And he wants you to trust him as Savior. And she said, my friend trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she said, she's here tonight. And the little girl stood up. And boy, we had church. I didn't even get to preach that night. God, the Holy Ghost moved in there. Can I tell you, it hadn't changed. The gospel messages still work. If you'll just give the simple gospel message, will everybody be saved? No. But every person who gets saved because they heard the gospel message. It is a singular message. It is the message of the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in chapter 2 here in this book of 2 Corinthians and notice 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not in excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in much weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul said, I came. Now, Paul... Brother Avery Ross, you say, Paul had a 16-cylinder mind. Said, I believe Gary said something about it one time, but I think 7 different languages Paul could speak. Boy, he had it. He could be impressive if he wanted to. He didn't want to. He said, I determined not to do anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. When I was pastoring down in Pensacola, Florida, I pastored a church there. It's a great church, Burgess Road Baptist Church. And when I was there, a lot of the folk there had left another ministry, another church over a period of time, had started that church. And Dr. Peter Ruckman was there at the other place. And Dr. Ruckman and I knew one another. But anyway, this fellow came to me, one of the deacons after I'd been there for some time. He said, you know, preacher, I noticed that certain preachers have certain themes. And he said, I've noticed something. He said, Dr. Ruckman, he's all about Bible prophecy, always preach on Bible prophecy. And he said, your thing is the cross and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, if I had to be identified with anything, I'd sure like for people to say, he preached Christ and the cross and salvation in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, that's my singular message. Now, if you go a little bit further down here, notice what he said. He said in verse 6, howbeit I speak wisdom with them that are perfect. That means mature. He said, people that are lost, they need the gospel. And you get the gospel to them, and then you help people to grow in the Lord. He knew a lot more than he said. But he knew that the singular message for salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you'll die and go to hell. There's no other way to get to heaven except through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other message that'll change your life other than what Jesus Christ did for you on that cross. He paid that sin debt for you. Notice not only the singular message. And let me say this to you. Notice the salvation that's provided. We are facing an election in just a matter of days now. And I know some of you decided one way, some of you decided the other. And I know it's so important and understand all that. And I'm for it. I believe we had a crucial point in our nation. Although I know that at some point in time, as it already began to deteriorate, it's going to get worse and worse. And can I say to you right now, the key thing right now where you're sitting at in this building or in the internet audience or in the radio audience is not what man you get in the office, but it's what man you get in your heart. That's where the difference is at. He that hath the Son hath life. If you have Jesus Christ, the salvation that's provided is in a person. Notice what it said here in this passage of Scripture. I'll read it again, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus Christ is salvation. It's him. It's not believing what the Baptists believe, but it's the person of Christ. My dear friends, salvation is provided through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to have all your sins forgiven and to live in heaven for all eternity. Paul said back in our text, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Saved. That's a good word. Saved. That's a good word. I'm glad to be standing here right now this morning. I don't know how long I'll stand. I don't know how long I'll live. Nobody in here does. That reality has been brought to me more real than maybe some of us have experienced things like that. But I remember when Dr. Ingram, my infectious disease doctor, came in and sat on the end of my bed. And after about 5 days, and he said, well, Billy, I've got you past the dying stage. And he said, now we've got to get it under control. The last time I went and talked to my infectious disease doctor, she said this. She said, I can't tell you it won't come back in 90 days or 9 months or 2 years. She said, really, we don't destroy it. We just suppress it because it's everywhere. And so you think about that. And I'm glad God saved me because he didn't come in and say to me, well, I got you past the dying stage, but I didn't take care of all of it. I just got it suppressed. You know what he did? He got it all. He got it all. He casts all of our sins as far as the east is from the west. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If you're saved, there's not a chance that you'll ever be lost again. If you're healed, you're complete. And heaven's our home. We're just as sure for heaven as we're standing there today. Can I tell you something? It's not a want to. It's not a I hope so. It's not a maybe. It is this. These things I've written to you, you might know that you have eternal life. And thank God you can know it today. It's a salvation. And God in his divine wisdom planned it that way to make it so simple so that anybody could be saved and could know they were going to heaven. And then they could shout on the way and not have to worry about it. I'm glad I'm saved. If you're glad you're saved this morning, say amen. Our sins are gone, and thank God for that. And why? How is all of that? He said this in verse number 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Hey, it's not me. Has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with you. It's him. It's him. And thank God he is our salvation. He is our strength. He is our song. Would you bow your heads together this morning? With your heads bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Oh, a sovereign choice. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Can I say to you, if he chose it, I guarantee it's the best way. I'll tell you something else. If he chose it, it's the only way. Men and women, boys and girls will get saved by hearing the gospel. In 2012, as much as in 1812 and 1612, nobody ever got saved apart from the preaching of the gospel. I spoke to Sammy there briefly a while ago, and Dr. J. Vernon McGee's, his ministry now is larger than it's ever been. And he's been in heaven for several years now. You know why? Because he had a singular message. Jesus Christ died to save sinners. And whether he's going through Genesis or Revelation, he takes a text and goes straight to Calvary and how that all relates to what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's that message that God's honored through all of these years. And when the dust settles, and when you stand at the crossing of the river, the one thing that you're going to need to know beyond any shadow of a doubt is that Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have Him? Are you genuinely saved? I want us to stand together. I want to have a word of prayer. Brad will sing or lead us in a song or have somebody else to sing. And because of our construction work that's here, that's going to be a blessing. Brother Tim, if you don't mind, Brother Tim's going to stand to my right. Brother Craig Allen, will you stand over here to my left? And if you're in the center section, the side sections, if you will, you make your way. These men, if you're not saved this morning, you want somebody to pray with you, they'll make sure they'll pray with you, or they'll get a man to pray with a man, a woman to pray with the ladies. But you need to know 100% sure that you're saved this morning. You say, Brother Billy, that's awful simple message. Absolutely. Boy, I count it a great honor to be numbered with the Apostle Paul when he said, I've determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He loves you and He died for you. It's been my privilege in the last few weeks, though I've been not able to get out and do like I've been doing. God seems to somehow or another let me, folk have called me. I shared on a Wednesday night, I don't know if I did on a Sunday, a few weeks ago on a Tuesday night at 10:30 at night. I had a driver to call me. He was almost to Jacksonville, Florida. A little over a month ago, he rolled his 18-wheeler. And God had him deeply under conviction. I sure glad I was able to answer the phone that night and share with him the simple gospel I've shared with you. 44 years ago, let me take that back. 46 years ago, I preached my first sermon away from my home church in Gaston, North Carolina. They had called me to come like Brother Gary and fill in. They'd had revival. They didn't have a pastor, but they'd had revival. And the evangelists had left. It had me to come over and preach on a Sunday morning. I was scared to death. I have no idea what I said, but I do remember what happened. On the very back row, a teenage boy pushed his way past his mother and came to the altar. And a deacon led him to the Lord. He got saved that morning. I never will forget what Mr. Odom, chairman of deacons, said to me. He came up to him and he said, Billy, I can't believe this. He said, we've had a big evangelist all week long and nobody ever came forward for nothing. And he said, you ain't even ordained. And one got saved. I didn't know what to say. I felt embarrassed about it. Didn't know what to say. But here I am, 46 years later, and it's still the same message. Jesus died for your sin, and if you'll believe on Him, He said, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Will you step out in faith this morning? You might be a member of this church, you may be a visitor or guest, but you come right now. I don't know if you're here and you're saved this morning. I get under conviction every day over the fact that I don't tell it enough. I'm not doing enough personal one-on-one soul winning. I wonder this morning if you'd like to come get around this altar and do like that little old girl did, Cedar Grove Baptist Church many years ago, and say, God, will you help me tomorrow just to tell the simple gospel to a friend or loved one or somebody you've been praying about? Ask them, can I share with you the gospel? It won't take long to do it. You do it in fear and trembling like Paul did, but it's not you, not your wisdom. but it's the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Would you do that? Ask God to help you to share. Somebody, tell somebody the simple message and just see what happens. Some will get saved, some won't. But some won't ever get away from it if you share the gospel. Heavenly Father, in the strong name of Jesus, help men and women, boys and girls to do now what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done. I pray, God, that all the things that we know we experience, I pray that not a person will walk out of this building without knowing that their sins are forgiven, heaven's their home, and they're saved. Do it now in Jesus' name.